Season's greetings, podchums. Ben Shires again joining you at this, the most wonderful time of the year. Of course, I'm not referring to anything as mundane as an annual religious festival. Pish and baubles to that. I mean the 30-odd minutes we get to spend in each other's company during every episode of the day we... who am I kidding? I love Christmas! I get so excited at this time of year. I'm like a kid at, well, Christmas. And if you weren't feeling festive already, you sure as Santa will be by the time we ram this comedy carvery down your throats. This week, we're joined by two comics who've definitely made St. Nick's nice list this year, Ben Tarjay and Louisa O'Mulan, plus one naughty young pup who certainly hasn't, Adam Hess, and a festive edition of Confess to Hess. Ho, ho, hum. Louisa O'Mulan, welcome to this festive edition of the Dave Weekly.
The house.
Yes, you are in the... Well, it's less
delighted.
A house, more a tower block, but still. It's,
yeah, but it feels... You're here, so it feels like home to me, Ben. Like home to me.
Ben Shires will build a home in your heart, leave it quite messy, and not tidy up after himself.
Damn right.
That's
damn
my style.
Right. It's my kind of house.
I'm a ventricle squatter.
Are you?
Just like getting in there.
Are they not illegal?
Well, now they are,
no,
yeah,
have you not been
sure.
Outcast yet? No.
Yeah, don't tell the government.
Okay, I'll be quiet. It's our little private house.
Yeah, in
our
fact,
private party.
If you're listening to this as well, don't tell anyone.
Yeah,
it's our little secret.
You can come in. You can come party at Ben's house too.
So we've set the tone. It's our Christmas. This is a Christmas episode. But maybe the biggest present that you could ask for, you've already received this year.
Yeah.
In that, hasn't it been the perfect year for you?
It's been really exciting. I'm very, very happy. So I've got a solo stand-up show, and it was my debut stand-up hour, and it's called What Would Beyonce Do? What Would She? Not the what would she, just what would Beyonce do? Don't get like, ooh, what would she? No, what would Beyonce do?
That's the message. That's the take-home message.
Yeah, that's the take-home message. And I took it up to Edinburgh Festival. Obviously has a big festival every year. And I took it up there by myself with no agent, no promotions, no managers. And I really wanted to rock it. And somebody must have been looking down on me because I had the best audiences in every day of the week. And it was a real joy.
That's amazing. I mean, let's just rewind a little bit. So, last January...
Oh, my God, I was so depressed, I wanted to kill myself.
I mean, that's a pretty bold statement, but you were really down.
Yeah, I was really down, but, like, I talk about it in the show. So, I graduated maybe 5-6 years ago, and I've always wanted a career in comedy. I've never wanted to do anything else.
So, what did you do at uni? Did you do,
Performing arts, yeah, and I did stand-up comedy whilst at university.
Okay, and then you went to Chicago and did, like, a brilliant
course
over there.
So, when I went to... So, I graduated, and for a few years, I did a few sketch things and improv things whilst working as a IT consultant on first line support and other various temp jobs that I was completely underqualified for. But thanks for having me. You were really great.
Never forget the little people.
Never forget the little people. I remember going to a job interview once and I had to go for it was some kind of banking firm, like a new trainee banker. And the guy there was looking at me and he was like, Louisa, I really like you and you've got great communication skills, but I can't help but feel that you don't really want this job in banking. Are you passionate about this position? And I looked at him and I nodded yes. No, I said yes, but I nodded no. So I subliminally got myself out of the interview. Anyway, long story short. So I was doing lots of crap jobs off and on. And then the last year, I broke up with a boyfriend who I was madly in love with. And I was really heartbroken by the whole process.
Was he a kind of a performer type as well? Or?
Yeah, you could say that. Yeah, he dresses up, does a little dance. he was a bit of a performer. Yeah, and we were very good friends for a long time. So it was very difficult to then date somebody and then break up with somebody that you're very good friends with. And so I was a bit of a mess. Like, I've never been so flawed by a breakup before.
It's a weird situation, I think, when, like you say, when you're really good friends with your partner.
Yeah.
And I hate using the word partner, by the way. I don't know why that slipped in. It always sounds really ambiguous.
Yeah, it does. And also it stops people from being like, oh, is he straight or is he gay?
I know. Ooh, he said partner. What can he be?
Oh, maybe you've got a chance, Barry. Maybe you've got a chance.
He's blurring the lines.
Oh, hello.
So if you're with your boyfriend or your girlfriend or whatever, and they're really good friends, and then you split up, and not only do you lose the relationship part of things, but you lose that your best friend
well,
as well.
It's weird as well because you're crying your eyes out and you're devastated, and the person you would normally call, you can't call anymore because you're like, oh, but I need you to talk about you.
I know.
Like, why can't I talk to you
really
about
weird.
You?
Can you not have a split personality for once?
Oh, well, maybe sometimes they do. That's why it's good to just leave it.
Do you know what? One of the things that I always, and maybe this isn't a usual thing, but I often forge nice relationships with my girlfriend's families. And I always think
that's
oh,
a
that's
really
be
good
so
way in.
Sad
oh,
to like
right,
not
sorry,
see them.
My bad. Yeah,
yeah. Obviously, I'm pulling the strings there. I'm playing the game in the long run.
Yeah. Well, my idea was that you get really close to the family, and so then if they ever try and break up with you, the dad would be like, "Oh my god, how could you dump Louisa? She's amazing. Yeah. Like, I would totally marry her if I was 30."
Yeah, I mean, if you go online, I would urge you to do this. Say and read the reviews of Louisa's show. Like, they're consistently amazing reviews.
Yeah, I'm really lucky.
Like almost all 5-star, and it's led to so. And what's been really, I think, taken on board by the press now is how you went about sort of publicising it, doing it all off your own bat. Because this time last year, you hadn't staged your own show before on your own. You'd been to Edinburgh, but always as part of a collective or whatever. And you hadn't got representation.
No.
You hadn't really got any of the grounding, which it would take even an established comedian to get where you are now, to have a run at the Soho Theatre.
Mm-hmm.
You'd have to have like the big management and all the rest of it
and
have that for quite a while. You've done it all in a year, all off your own back.
Yeah, I'm pretty proud of myself, I won't lie. But I kind of feel very grateful, and I feel like it's been a long time coming. And I've seen a lot of friends who have had big managers, and people have gone to Edinburgh. And I think it's difficult if you're not a name, especially this year, to fill out a venue, because you get the paid shows in Edinburgh where you pay £10-12, for example, for a ticket, and then you have the free fringe where you just put a donation at the end. So I did the free fringe, but I marketed it as if it was a paid show. So I spent all my money on great big posters, on adverts. I PR'd it myself. I asked several people to be on my PR team to help me contact newspapers, contact agents. And nearly everyone I spoke to said, sorry, we won't do a free fringe show. Sorry, we won't do a free fringe show.
Wow.
So I was like, fine. What would Beyonce do? She'll do it her bleeding self. That's what she'd do.
So, Louisa, yes. Christmas.
Yes, exciting.
Let's talk about that a little bit.
Because
it's just round the corner.
It's very exciting. The whole of London, I love the Marmite lights.
They
look
down
great, don't
Oxford
they?
Street. Yeah. And it's just Oxford Street, I think.
I do love London in the Christmas time, I won't lie. It does look beautiful.
It's a good Christmas city, isn't it?
It's a great Christmas city. Like, everywhere is full of festive cheer.
Mm.
And all the little markets you get down the South Bank and everything, the German markets.
Oh, they're very good. And the Winter Wonderlands. And
it's superb. It's really nice time of year, actually, isn't it?
It is good. I think everyone kind of comes together and feels a bit more,
yeah.
I don't know, a bit more connected.
Absolutely.
I think there's a lot of disparity and a lot of kind of feeling like you're quite anonymous and other people are, and I think it's nice when we can feel a bit more joined together.
Absolutely. And what better time of year to have that than
I mean, sure, don't make eye contact with me on transport.
Don't even like try and ask me for my seat.
No,
like, because you're not gonna get it.
Yeah, I don't care if you're pregnant,
but you know, really like your tinsel earrings. Kudos.
Yeah. Peace and goodwill, but get out of my face.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's how I feel. Look, I'm going to bump this up a notch now because I have spent a whole English pound buying 8 Christmas crackers. So I think we should pull one each.
Okay.
All right, here's the first one.
Let's
We're going to pull
look.
It. Here we go.
Make some noise. Here we go. Oh, no. Hold on.
Oh! That's what you get for a pound.
Oh.
So that didn't actually quite work. Louise had to pop it. Do you know
manually.
What? I'm going to be a gent and let you take the
Wow, let's have a look what
inside.
We've got in here.
There should be a joke.
I've got a plastic hat and I've got a joke. Right, are you ready, Dave? How does Jack Frost get to work?
Snowplough?
Bicycles.
Bicycles. Oh, I see what they've
what
done.
Oh, I want a little sticker of some jingle bells and a Christmas tree.
Oh, brilliant.
Well, that's nice. And a plastic hat.
A plastic hat.
A latex
No paper
hat.
Crate hats.
Okay, that's nice. Let's see what you've got.
All right, what am I going to get?
I'm going to try and get a bang.
Yay! Oh, I've got
a green hat. To my red, yeah.
Very Christmassy colours, which is nice.
That's nice, always good. Let's see your joke. Let's see if we can work it out.
My joke is, what animals need oiling?
Bipolar bears. No?
No, I like your train of thought, but no, it's mice because they squeak.
Oh, I prefer bipolar bears.
I know, your answer was better. Get it right, £1 crackers.
Yeah.
And not only that, Louisa, but look at this. It gets better.
Oh, have you got me a present? Oh, no.
Look, yeah.
Oh, you have?
A stocking. Oh, look at that. A stocking with a reindeer on. It's bought out of my own pocket.
Wow.
And look at this. If you pull this...
Oh, wow. And it lights up. I love that.
It lights up.
You've gone ahead and got me a lighted stocking.
I'm going to give you that. And guess what? There's a gift in there.
For me?
There is.
Ben, you shouldn't have.
I thought long and hard.
Oh, I'm spoiled. I need to come on here again. Woohoo! Yeah! Thanks!
Are you pleased?
It's a Jimmy Nail CD.
It is?
Yeah. Okay. This is great.
I was thinking next show...
I think my dad likes Jimmy Nail.
What
so
would Jimmy
I'll,
Nail do?
Rewrap that. Yeah, I like the way that my show's called What Would Beyonce Do? And you went to HMV and you thought, in the genre of R&B pop, what else do you reckon Louisa Omerlin would like? And you bought me a Jimmy Nail.
You can't argue with Crocodile Shoes.
What's Crocodile Shoes?
Because it's one of his hits.
Yeah, but it's not even on here.
I know, I couldn't find that one.
Big River, I think of you, can't hold on. What kind of a man am I? A very strange one, Jimmy. A very, very strange one.
Louisa, thanks for coming in and being brilliant.
No
worries.
No, thank you so much for having me, and I hope you can make it down to Soho Theatre the 17th to the 26th at 9:15 in their main theatre in January.
It would be the perfect Christmas present, don't you think?
Oh my gosh. Listen, if you're single, your girlfriends, your gay friends, your boyfriends, your mum's friend, somebody that's Beyonce crazy, if you're a fan of Beyonce and you like jokes, come on down. If you don't, I won't lie, probably best just to get some socks. But for everyone else... It's a real party. It's a party with jokes in. So if you're up for a party and a bit of booty shaking, come down to Soho Theatre.
You heard it here. Louisa, thank you for dropping by.
Thank you so much for having me. Have a lovely Christmas.
And you. Bye.
Bye.
Yes, yes, it's Adam Hess in his Confess to Hess section, which we are regrettably contractually obliged to honour. Hello again, Adam.
Hello, how are you? Okay, should we get started with the confessions?
Let's just get it over with.
Okay, well, first one doesn't come with a name, but it says, we don't have a chimney in our flat. Where should we tell our daughter that Santa comes in? I think letterbox. My fiance says magic key. They're reasonable suggestions, I think. I was going to say that I don't think it matters. Really. Do you think it matters? Because it's not like it... That's one of the smallest holes in the Santa story, I think. But I was going to say it doesn't matter, but I lived in a flat when I grew up, and my parents told me that the way that Santa got in was by coming out of the tap, which was fine. I mean, I didn't question it. I thought that was fine. But then one year, when at school, when we went back to school after the holidays, we had to write what we did that Christmas and then draw it on the next page. And the thing I... Because most children were drawing stuff like Christmas trees and presents and chimneys and stuff. But the thing I drew got circled, like, with a question mark. Because I'd just drawn, like a really badly drawn sink. Because a child's never had to draw a sink before. And, like, a snake coming out of the tap. And I didn't have a red pen, so I coloured him in brown. And then the beard... I did a beard, but that just made it look like the snake was smoking. And then I'm in this drawing as well, but I'm wearing like a pink dress because my parents were quite poorish and I didn't know it was weird to wear just like hand-me-downs from an older sister. So I was wearing like a Daisy Duck nightie. And I looked like a geisha as well because I did the lips really red. Obviously the lips are red and I didn't have peach to do my skin in a sort of peach colour. So I looked like a geisha.
So basically, you drew a picture, and that's how your parents were investigated for being.
They were not investigated.
African witch doctors.
I have no idea. Well, I just feel sorry for my teacher who saw that and saw a very, very promising child just drawing like an abomination of a Christmas day. So, in answer to your question, the tap. Next one. My son keeps getting non-speaking roles in Christmas plays. What should I do? Well, there's probably a reason for that. So, it's for the good of the production. What else?
Scorsese speaks.
In mine, I was given non-speaking roles quite often. One year, I had to play the innkeeper's wife. And I didn't have a role. I didn't have
any
lines.
Were you wearing your Daisy Duck?
I was wearing a, like, black curly wig, which is ridiculous. It was more believable that a woman back then would just have short hair like me rather than a perm.
Perms were big in the 80s. And by that, I mean the zero 80s.
Zero 80s. Yeah, and I didn't have a role, so I didn't have anything to say. And also, seeing as I didn't have anything to say, they asked me to bring in the Jesus. I claimed I had a doll that I could bring in to be the baby Jesus, and I was lying. I just wanted to look helpful. So I just had to bring in it was a naked action man wrapped up in toilet paper that year, which was just horrible. And then, like, I just had to hold it up by the leg. The girl held it up by the leg. Horrible role.
Well, that was the last confess to Hess for this series. Thank goodness. But I've got one more confession to make. Next up is Ben Tarjay, and I really like this guy. He's great. Okay, Ben Tarjay, welcome to the Dave Weekly.
Hello, Ben.
How you doing? From one Ben to another.
Yeah, we share a name.
We do.
Yeah, hopefully not. We don't actually have to share it.
No.
I mean, it's not like on Monday you take the name.
Alternate
on
weekends.
On Wednesday I have it, yeah.
You're the name stepdad or something.
Yeah.
I've cast you in that light already. I'm the maternal one. I'm looking after Ben in a nice way.
You're saying that I just breeze in once every fortnight with, you know, some inappropriate gifts.
Just put it this way, Ben. When have I last seen you? Yeah? When? You tell me that. And so close to Christmas as well. Do you want to break my heart?
Oh, gosh, wow. We've kicked off right in the deep end of tragedy and soap opera.
We like to play it thick here on the Dave Weekly. Were you not given a script at the door?
Oh,
dear.
No.
It's falling apart already. I mean, that's great. And obviously, you've met with lots of success. You've got the Leicester Comedian of the Year, Leicester Mercury. And you've kind of got your Soho Theatre run coming up of your latest Edinburgh show, wasn't it?
So. That's right, yeah. My first Edinburgh hour was this year, and I was fortunate to be nominated on the newcomers list, and that has allowed me to sort of knock on the Soho's door going, hey, do you want to fancy putting this on? It's been a roller coaster of 3 years.
Mm.
I wonder if it can be kept up or if I'll just sort of nose plant at some stage.
You know, you could market that roller coaster, because I tell you, one of my main gripes about them is their length. They're never long enough, Ben.
You're right. You queue for 45 minutes.
Don't you just...
The tension that you build up, and by the time you get off, that tension, you know, it's still there a little bit.
It's not been quite sated, has it?
No, it hasn't. And you end up on the teacups,
yeah.
You know, and that's just, no one wants to end up on the teacups.
No, that's a good analogy for life, really. No one wants to end up on the teacups.
Especially not after lunch. Danger zone.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what, Ben? I actually bought a gift for you today because we haven't met before, and I just thought, let's start off on good terms. I should have given it out at the beginning.
Oh,
but I know
this is kindness.
With your throat. This may help.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually a Chupa Chups Melody Pops. It's one of those lollipops you can blow a whistle on. Yeah,
it's brilliant.
That's the good news, Ben. The bad news is at the end of this episode, you and I are going to be playing a symphony.
You've actually brought your own Chupa Chups Melody Pop.
It's going to be like a jazz rave.
Could not be better. I think you'll find that I'm actually grade 8 Melody Pops, Ben. So you've met your nemesis.
Oh, dear.
The joke's on you.
I've got a lot of catching up with you. Give me the rest of the episode to practice.
Yeah, absolutely. And get yourself in the right mental zone.
I'm there, like Linford Christie.
Good. I didn't know he was so good on the Melody Pops, but...
Oh, he's good at everything. He's got a wealth of
the full package, you might
talents.
Say. let's talk about Discover Ben Tarjay, because this is the show that you got nominated for the Edinburgh Award. Obviously,
right.
Hugely successful. Like you say, it's your debut show at Edinburgh. You haven't been doing comedy for that long. All of a sudden, bang, nomination for Best Newcomer. You're playing at Soho Theatre. Were you surprised when even the title itself was kind of quite, it was quite sort of, I don't know, there was a degree of telling people something there. You must discover Ben Tarjay. It wasn't a come and see what you think. It was very much an instruction.
There was a sort of two-tier, tongue-in-cheekness to the title. Edinburgh is this huge melting pot, and there's so many good people up there. It's impossible as an audience member, I imagine, to go in and to see things that you necessarily really want to see. I mean, it's all about exploration and just and discovering people. So there was that sort of, as you suggest, that direction of and sort of a bit cheeky saying, well, actually, this is the thing you should come and see. But also to myself, you know, I set myself the goal of writing between 2 and 5 minutes of new material a day, wow, of which I would try and get some of into the show. And so for me, it was also a sort of a brief of to Ben Targe, that guy on stage, of go and discover as well, you know. Also, get on that wavelength with the audience. If they're here to discover you, also you, within the show, discover things yourself.
That's, I mean, just going back to what you said about writing new material, I mean, that is prolific by anyone's standards.
It doesn't mean it was good, Ben. I mean, by the end, I probably had about maybe a fifth of the show was ideas that were generated in Edinburgh, which I was surprised at, but I think... I read this thing a while back about Eddie Izzard starting and ending with a completely different show on tour. And I thought, and Russell Howard as well, allegedly from comics I've spoken to, tries to do the same, generate sort of 20 minutes or more of material during a tour. And I think Edinburgh it's a summer camp for comedians. So yes, you do come out with a show, but it should also be about, you know, pushing yourself and seeing where it goes.
They should market Edinburgh with that exact phrase. Yeah. The summer camp for comedians.
Yeah, you're right.
It's quite exciting. Did I read this correctly? I had to reread it, and I'm sure I read it right, but that you used to work in a factory that manufactured Barbies.
Yes,
and
I
not
did.
Barbies as in the Australian pop another shrimp on the Barbie.
But that would be cool.
That would be cooler. We're talking about the
doll. We're talking about the 1950s, you know, classic blonde bombshell Barbie.
Wow.
Played with by 6-year-olds to 11-year-old girls, according to the marketing department.
So how did you swing yourself that sweet, sweet job?
Ooh, well, I was encouraged at university in the engineering department to take a year and go and explore the industry of engineering. So most of my contemporaries went off to the Jaguar factory or the Rover factory, but I decided I want to get abroad. And I met this ex-Chelsea football player.
Obviously.
Because I was coaching kids' football teams at the time.
Oh, wow, cool.
And his son just happened to be playing one. And he worked in Indonesia. And he just encouraged me to go out there because there's a lot of factories out there. And I had a look, and Barbie just sounded completely outlandish, you know, totally ridiculous. So I went for it, and I got the job. At the time, you know, I was on a local salary of about $50 a month, and it was a great experience. I mean, it was fun. It completely surreal. I mean, I think I was.
So this was in Indonesia as well.
Yeah, yeah. It was in a place called Sikarang, which is outside Jakarta, and I was told when I first arrived that it was quite a rough area. You know, you didn't want to end up there.
Well, luckily, you're the tough guy who works at the Barbie factory, so yeah. No one messes with you.
I'm not going to stand out in Indonesia. Yeah. But I had a great time. I mean, I think I was one of two European guys in the factory. And
I like that. That was a rough estimate. I think I was one of two. Yeah.
I think about 70% women working there.
Right. I can see why Ben Targe flitted
right
across to Indonesia. Yeah.
And 90% of my coworkers were Muslim. So it was suddenly I was completely the outsider, and it was just a really good way to get to see not only another working place but another culture that was you know, totally amazing.
Would you still have the contacts? Because obviously Christmas is around the corner for me to get my own niece, who's only 3 and probably would appreciate a Barbie, one direct from Indonesia, Ben. Would that be possible?
Gosh. I think very sadly, Ben, you're just going to have to give her the Chupa Chups lollipop I gave you, because I don't. I was... Oh.
Never mind. I mean, I'm sure she'll appreciate the pre-blown Chupa Chups once we've had our blow-off.
Stuck to the bottom of her stocking.
Yeah, I tried to wrap it, but I think you'll have a job getting the paper off. With that in mind, I think it could be time for the Chupa Chups off.
Let's do it. Now,
Have you got any rules? This is your kind of...
The trick to these, Ben, is to not rip the wrapper as you open them. Now, that's quite difficult because inside... They give you, I believe, or at least they used to. They used to give you. Nope, sorry. Last time I bought these back in 1993, they used to give you like a little tune to play.
Oh.
So I think instead of that, we should try and whistle a Christmas tune. What do you think, Ben?
You're absolutely right. Now, have you got a favourite Christmas tune?
Oh, I think. We wish you a Merry Christmas.
Yes. It's perfect, Ben. It's perfect. We're literally days away from the 25th. What could be better than a chorus of We Wish You a Merry Christmas on the Chupa Chop featuring Ben Shires and Ben Tarje?
Do you want to give yours a quick blast just to check it works and to go?
Oh, so it's like a thingy whistle. What the swanny whistle?
Yeah.
That's Ben Tarje.
And Ben Shires, grade 8.
Oh, there we go. Well, you could probably tell already
that this is going to be nigh on impossible.
Yeah.
But that's not the Christmas spirit, Ben.
Exactly.
You don't give up at Christmas time.
Mary and Joseph knocked on every door until they found that stable.
Exactly.
And the equivalent in this day and age is playing a Chupa Chups and trying to get any discernible tune out of it.
All right, let's do it.
Okay, a one, a two, a one, two, three, four. Christmas with the clangers. Where's the soup dragon? I think that was one of my favourite ever things to do. That is absolutely brilliant. We should release an album.
We should.
All your Christmas hits on one easily accessible sweet bass device.
That would be a stocking filler.
Yeah. Oh, just a bit. Much more than the foot, anyway. Come on. Ben Tarje, you have been absolutely lovely. Thanks for popping by.
Thank you so much, Ben Shires. What a pleasure. Have yourself a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. 2013, bring it on.
Excellent. And shall we end on a little Chupa Chups fanfare?
Yep.
All right. Merry Christmas. Goodbye.
Bye.
It was a few days before Christmas, and all through Dave Towers, the building was empty, they don't work long hours. But away in a corner came a shuffle, a groan, a podcast to finish, when the team wished for home. Producer Joel wasn't stirring, though he'd made cups of tea, and Ben was looking on at him, quite angrily. Alex the editor was watching, as usual, morose, but passing it off by wearing cool clothes. Ben being a diva and claiming he's bored. Tensions were high as they tried to record, but just when things threatened to break into a fight, they realised it was Christmas and called it a night. Yes, that's it for our Christmas special, guys, and for the series proper. We hope you've enjoyed it as much as we have. We'll be back in February at Dave's Leicester Comedy Festival, and in the meantime, we've got a highlights episode to look forward to next Friday and the brilliant outtakes the week after that. Do check out the blog at joindave.co.uk/podcast. Tweet me at Ben Shires and Dave at join_Dave. And most importantly of all, have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Toodles doodles. The Dave Weekly is a Pixiu production for Dave, hosted by me, Ben Shires, and produced by Joel Porter.